Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Devotees of natural landscaping will be swapping suggestions and perhaps a cutting or two tomorrow at Cardinal Stritch University. Organizers hope the annual seminar will broaden interest in the concept that plunking in plants native to their habitat is neither a purist nor an unmanicured practice. It encourages the biodiversity to which insects, birds, and wildlife are connected. Not only that, the deeply rooted vegetation holds a lot of rainwater-sucking capacity. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz toured several naturally oriented yards and met the spirit behind them.
Looking back on the day I spent touring yards with the Native Touch, it's hard to know where profound dedication for deep-rooted habitat-nurturing landscapes ends and passion for one woman begins.
This tall, stately woman walks up to the door and introduces herself. And after that, Lori told us what native planting and what it was all about. She was our mentor.
That is her favorite tree. That is her was her favorite tree, Lori's tree.
I went on a tour with Lori to dig up things.
You know, Lori Otto liked this yard because she liked the idea that on this small suburban lot, you could still have natural landscaping.
She taught me how to make pies in her kitchen, and she had the most beautiful wallpaper with native plants on it.
Lori Otto's life spanned from 1919 to 2010, but her legacy stands to linger infinitely longer. Otto grew up on her family's dairy farm outside Madison, where she became keenly interested in nature. When she got older, she became a leader in the hard-fought fight to ban the dangerous chemical DDT. After learning that prairie flowers and the bird and insect life they support were being lost to development at an eco-life-threatening rate, Otto assembled a group to promote natural landscaping in 1979. Called Wild Ones, it now has chapters around the country. Local member Nay Fraser says Otto's death leaves a hole in the movement.
Lori kept it up. Nobody contradicted Lori. She would just go, you know, do her thing.
She trundles me around town in her old Chevy to show me why Otto's legacy is worth preserving. First up, Carol Chu's tidy ranch home in Bayside. She not only lives the natural landscape mantra, Chu is a Lori Otto historian, meticulously curating piles of photos and writings.
Her scrapbook about environmental things, here she's writing to developers about what happens.
Outside, Chu maintains a landscape worthy of better homes and gardens, from streetside.
This is a vegetated infiltration swale, and it catches water from the road.
To her backyard, she figures 90 native plants are thriving here. As for watering,
new plants that have just been in a short time, new shrubs, you know, that water those for a few months.
Chu walks me over to her yellow and violet blossom-studded rain garden. She teamed up with her neighbor to create it.
And it takes care of their sump pump water, which comes down underground into this, and it takes care of all the water off our roof.
A half mile north, Lon and Susanna Rosalie's neighbor wasn't quite as keen about the whole native thing. So the Rosalies created a musselwood tree buffer along their lot line.
Because it was a little controversial, everybody has groomed lawns and everything around here, but
she says everybody seems happy now. Husband Lon adds to the good vibrations by picking up neighbors' leaves as they tumble. Fodder, he says, for his leaf mulch. Rosalie digs down to show me the results.
What happens with all these plants is their root structure is much deeper than olive grass root structures. These roots will take water, take nutrients. The leaves, they disintegrate all by themselves, just like in a normal forest. And then they'll take all of that nutrients down into the soil. And it'll, you know, fertilize that soil. It'll make it much richer. You know, you can see how dark this is. We've not fertilized anything other than leaf mulch.
Just one of the lessons learned from Lori Otto, he says.
She started educating me on what the plants were, like with the plants, some like 100% sun, some like sun and shade, some like a lot of shade.
The Rosalies also learned, just give the birds and bees some time and they'll help you. Susanna points to a swaying Joe Pye weed, busy bees moving about its lavender blossoms.
We have it in other areas of the yard and boom, it popped up here. And we're finding that with just about everything. I mean, literally the birds and the bees are doing their job.
Nay Fraser revs up the Chevy and points it to our next destination.
Port Washington, a green tree.
We arrive at Rochelle Whiteman's sloping lot, filled front and back, tamarack tree above, wild ginger and false blue indigo below. In its former life, she says.
This lot nobody wanted because it was a quarter of an acre at an angle like this, and it was the only thing empty on this block. This was an empty apple orchard with Marion bluegrass. I wanted to keep the apple trees, but we had to cut them down over time. And every one of these trees I planted when it was the size of a pencil.
Whiteman, a sculptor and painter, says she wanted to do the native thing, but...
I didn't understand native companion plants, and I didn't understand anything about heritage plantings or sense of place or anything like that.
She set out to control her landscape in a natural sort of way.
And now I understand that this is a habitat, and I am one of the inhabitants.
With an artistic flair, Whiteman steps out to her backyard. Paths meander through what appears an endless expanse, punctuated by birch and dogwood trees. She points to arched-stemmed plants below our feet.
This is my favorite giant Solomon seal.
Favorite or not, Whiteman has to fight the urge to tame it.
It's become a pain in the neck to me because it takes over. And I do like to see areas that are predominantly one thing, so it looks like there's some plan. But the truth of the matter is, I am...
She seems to struggle to convince herself.
I am not in charge.
Over the years, Whiteman has shared her wedge-shaped, highly rain-absorbent garden. Don't let her fool you. With all her bravado, Whiteman firmly believes it plays an important environmental role.
I just think when you find out that the more you put chemicals on your grass, the more you're killing the microorganisms and the worms. And I don't think this is for everyone, I must say. But I think everyone could give up part of their land and get involved with it and give up their chemicals.
Time to hit the road, says chauffeur Nay Fraser, who insists on using that term. She whisks me off to our last deep-rooted oasis, a few miles away in Glendale. No need of a lawnmower here. John and Martha Lunds contributed every inch of their compact lot to what Martha calls biodiversity cultivation. Consider, she says, the importance of the lowly insect. Most everybody has heard about monarchs and how critical milkweed is to their survival. Lund says the system is much more sweeping than the beautiful butterflies.
If we don't plant native plants, we're cutting off our food at the very foundation of the food web. So, I mean, we need it, you know, not just the wildlife, we need it.
We've come to the core of the native landscaping argument with an amazingly subtle twist. Each gardener, uniquely, revels in the spaces they've created, or rather, given way to. For Martha Luntz, it's a no-brainer.
I keep telling people it's so easy to care for once it's established, because all you do is keep the... They say, well, I see you out there all the time. They think they have to spend as much time out here as I do. But how many people would just not be able to wait to get out and look at their turf grass in the morning, you know?
Motoring back to where we started, Nay Fraser mulls over what she considers the challenge and the promise of Lori Otto's legacy through children.
Children need a sense of place where they can discover nature and bond with nature. And that's what these gardens are all about.
For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
I think children learn a lot in these gardens.
Susan Bentz is WUWM's environmental reporter. You can learn more about Wild Ones and its chapters around the country and about this weekend's seminar from links at WUWM.com/lake effect. Coming up after a break, it's the latest installment in our Iron Brigade and Beyond Wisconsin in the Civil War series. That's coming up in just a moment on Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.